Hey, welcome back. It's Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Or as some of you may call me, the ear-screeching substitute talk show host. Welcome back. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Can we get the big voice guy to say that? And now, the ear-screeching substitute talk show host. I'll go by, you know, I've always wanted an on-air name. So maybe that could be it. This was from a person on Facebook, said called me the ear-screeching substitute talk show host. So mark that one down, Tanner. We might need to get that liner made. 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on the show. I said Marcus was the last comment on minimum wage, but you know how I am. If it's something you want to comment on, call in. We'll still talk about it. I'm still waiting for someone who was at the meeting yesterday in Amherst to call and give a rundown of what happened. 803-0930 would appreciate that. Before we get to the next topic, this is going to be such an old man comment that I'm about to make, but is it normal to be like 25% success rate when using the broil option on the oven? Because 3 out of 4 times, I burn whatever I was trying to do. Yeah, I do not have a good success rate when it comes to the broiler or the broil option. Oh, just broil it for 5 minutes. It'll get nice and crispy. Nope. It will burn and the fire alarm will go off. That is realistic. I think I've once successfully broiled something. Every other time it burns. I ruin the dish. You know, you watch these. I talked yesterday. I went down to Neil Sedaka. I really am just. I am sounding like such an old man. I go down these cooking rabbit holes. Like, oh, what could I make? What delicious thing could I make? And you know, a lot of these things say after switch to broil for 5 minutes to get a crispy top. I'm like, I think I'll skip that because I like crispy, but it usually turns into a, you know, burning the entire dish. And if it's something that, you know, took steps and then in 5 minutes I ruin it, I think we'll just go without the broil option. Maybe I'll just leave it in the oven for 5 minutes longer or something. All right. So today my wife sent out our Christmas cards. Yes, we love to do things last minute. So my wife sent out our Christmas cards today. And, you know, we've talked about numerous times the way we handle our finances. We do everything right down the middle, 50-50. So she sent me the total and said, you know, could you give me half of this? And, of course, I did. But I was just, and I can't be too surprised. I mean, we did this just last year, but it didn't stick out to me. 66 cents for a postage stamp. 66 cents. So it cost us $40 to send 60 holiday cards. $40 might not seem like a lot, but I think that's a lot to send. I mean, our holiday cards, we are not the people who give our life story on the holiday card. It's a picture of the family. Happy, you know, happy holidays, Merry Christmas from our three names, and we mail it out. Very simple. We don't send a book. We don't send pictures. We send picture. It's a very simple holiday card. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. $40. I think that's ridiculous, especially since I was just told that the post office was not meant to make money. Didn't we just run that story like 2 months ago, talking about the deficit that the post office creates every year? Newman and his postal employees create every year. Oh, well, it's not supposed to make money. Okay, well, stop charging me 66 cents a postage stamp. So I want to know, did you get priced out of holiday cards? Because I see more and more people emailing me their holiday card or sending me their holiday card on Facebook Messenger. And I've noticed we get less and less holiday cards. Now, Tanner, that could be because less and less people like us. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we've ticked off enough people. I'm going to go with less people are sending holiday cards, and I'm sure it's one of many factors. But the 66 cents postage stamp cannot be helping. So were you priced out of your holiday cards? And by the way, that's just the postage. 60 holiday cards cost about $80, $90. So we're talking about something in the $130, $140 range just to let people know, hey, here's my family, Merry Christmas. In the age of Facebook, the age of text messaging, the age that email is still around, is the holiday card in snail mail even a necessity anymore? I mean, think of all the things that we used to get in the mail, right? I mean, we used to get checks in the mail all the time. Now, yes, my grandmother still sends checks in the mail. But if I am to gift someone money, this might be a tacky way to do it, I apologize, but I'm more likely to buy a gift card or to send them a digital gift card via text, right? I'm not going to put the check in the mail, pay the 66 cents, and mail it to them. I'm much more likely just to give it over my phone with a, you know, message, hey, happy birthday from, you know, the three of us. So less people are clearly sending stuff in mail, the old-fashioned way. So my question to you at 803-0930, star 930, is the United States Post Service still a necessity in 2023? 803-0930, star 930. I know. Joe, what a stupid question. Thank you. But I think it's one that, I think if you look at it, how necessary. I mean, in 1997, Kramer tried to stop his mail because the bank could pay your bills. You could send cards through email. That was in 97. And then Wilford Brimley came up and said, I had to cancel my golf lessons with the president. Seinfeld references, I know, I'm sorry. But if you look at it, think of the things that you don't do in the mail anymore. I don't pay any of my bills through mail. All my bills are electronic, right? Most of my bills are on auto pay because I'm an idiot and I would forget to pay it otherwise. As I said, every year, less and less holiday cards, more through email, more on Facebook. Some of my friends will just hand me one here at work instead of mailing it out. So I just don't think it's the necessity that it used to be. And then you get into the, well, do we get rid of mail? Do we go down to 5 days a week or 4 days a week? You know, because I'm thinking you have FedEx, you have UPS. Now, someone on the text board is upset with me because they say, who do you think sends your Amazons on Sunday? Yes, I realize that the United States Post Service does some of the delivering of Amazon packages on Sunday, but so do the people that drive the Amazon trucks. So I think Amazon would be just all right if USPS said, hey, we're not around anymore. And this is no offense. One of my very good friends is a mailman, right? One of my good friends, what was the mailman's name on Mr. Rogers? Oh, it's going over my head now. I was going to try to make a quick joke, and I ruined it. But there's nothing against, you know, the post office, except the only time I ever have to go to the post office is the holiday time. If I'm the one sending the cards. Now, thankfully, my wife was the one who sent the cards this year, so I didn't have to put up with that. But if I remember from last year, it was a pain in the you-know-what. I had to go in there. I had to get the sheet of stamps. I had to put stamp on each frickin' envelope. Then I try to take it to the counter, like, no, just put it in the box over there. Oh, thanks. So I stood in line for no reason. I just, again, this is not an anti-government topic. It is, do you depend on mail regularly? 803-0930, star 930. If tomorrow the U.S. Postal Service were to shut down, would you be able to survive without mail? 803-0930, star 930. I raise my hand and say yes. But as I ask this question, I realize there are some people who still depend on important deliveries every day, and they do it through the USPS. I understand that if you run a business, that might be a different answer. But then I would also push back. Again, you have UPS, you have FedEx, you have DHL, you have all these other services as well. I think it's something to consider. I'd like to know your thoughts on it. The Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, bro. Where are you paying $60 to $90 for 60 Christmas cards? $479 for 16 cards at Target. You're right. However, we like to get the cards that are glossy and have our pictures on it. You know, we had a... This is now people are really going to say, oh, Joe, you have no leg to stand on. We had a photo shoot at our apartment with our son in front of the Christmas tree with all the Christmas decorations. And it was the same person who did our wedding pictures, who did our first pictures with our son. She does a great job. So we had a photo shoot at the apartment, and then we turned those our favorite two pictures from that into our holiday card. So yes, you're right. I could have gotten the $479 ones at Target. We went with the glossy picture of everybody, which I realized people only wanted the picture of my son. I probably didn't need to be on the card. You know, you're going to open that and you're going to see me and go, could have done without Joe on the on the Christmas card. 803-0930, start 930. All right, Chris in Williamsville. Chris, what is your thoughts on the USPS?
I could not survive without the USPS. As a matter of fact, I'm about to pull into the parking lot as we speak.
Of the post office?
Yes.
Oh, what great timing.
Yep. It's busy can be. I mean, you can't even find a parking spot there. There's a lot of people using the USPS.
Yeah, especially the holiday time, Chris. I 100% agree with you. Now, let me ask you, outside of December, what do you rely on the USPS for? What are some examples of stuff that you need in the mail? Maybe not every day, but, you know, on a regular basis.
Okay, so I'm an old-fashioned gal, and I do like mail. I do all my bills. I write them out. I am a business owner. I own several businesses. So to me, you know, I like the paper trail. I like having my hands on everything. I don't want to have to print everything out at tax time because I have to have hard copies of everything. I'm all about post office, and I'm all about, you know, important stuff.
Yeah, Chris, those are absolutely perfect examples.
Yeah, digging through my email to find receipts is brutal. I mean, because you get so much junk in email all the time, you can't keep track of everything. I try to put stuff in folders. You can't keep up with it.
That's such a great point, because I was going to push back with you get a lot of junk in mail too, but it's a lot easier to get the meaningful stuff in the mailbox as it is, because every morning I open my email and there's 80 things and I really only need two in there. So you're right. I mean, it is email is more and more every day just full with junk, and it kind of hides the important stuff.
Oh yeah, and I mean, I can keep up with the junk mail that comes in. It comes to my mailbox. I throw it out. It's junk. It's nothing I need. The emails, I mean, when I open my Yahoo email, I've got like two emails. When I open the Yahoo email on a daily basis, I have like 600 new emails. And I keep clicking things and telling them, no, I don't want that. It's junk, whatever. And still, they just keep ramping up. I can't keep up with that. But I can keep up with the paperwork.
It does seem like the unsubscribe button sometimes on email doesn't work.
It doesn't.
Chris, I am so glad you called in. You laid out some great points that I didn't even think of, and hopefully it's not a long wait at the USPS for you.
Yeah, it's going to be. But that's all right.
Thank you.
We love them.
Thank you, Chris. Chris in Williamsville, points for the Postal Service. And you know, she makes some great points. I also am one person. I wish my W-2s were all in the mail instead of having to print them out, have that hard copy of documents. I completely agree. I really am. I think she made great points. Again, bill pay, I would never be, I would never go back to sending it in the mail. I like to pay it right away. I also am someone who waits, you know, like I said, automatic payments. I schedule them for the day they're due. I'm not sending them out a week before. So again, that's the millennial in me. But I can see what she's saying. And for the people who do still send their holiday cards, I do like seeing everybody, right? You know, a lot of my friends from college, from high school, family members, they don't live here. So the holiday card is the, because I'm not the kind of person, I don't go creep on people's Facebooks, right? So I don't see everyone's Facebook posts that they put. I'm not on Facebook as much as I used to be. So I do like to get the holiday cards and see how everyone's doing and see their families expanding. That's all very nice. I am not anti the United States Post Service. However, I do think it's a fair question to ask if it's necessary. Chris gave a perfect example of why, in her opinion, it is necessary. Is there anyone on the other side of that? Or could mail service go down to 3 or 4 times a day? I know in very rural areas of the country, there are places where mail service is only 3 or 4 times a day. It's not a 6 day a week thing. Could we do that everywhere? Would that be an issue? 803-0930, start at 30. And again, this is not an anti-government topic. That's not what I'm trying to, people are calling me out. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying, I was shocked when I saw that stamps were 66 cents a piece. Again, for something that we were told was not for profit. And that's how they can explain the millions of dollars being lost on the Postal Service every year. I'm saying, can we cut back certain aspects of that? Maybe also, I don't know. 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer in for Bowerly. It's great being with you on this Tuesday on News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We're talking about a whole plethora of things. Someone said, hey, Joe, remember when Little Debbie snacks in most of the stores were 50 cents each? Now you can't even get them for under $2. Yes, I do. I remember, and when I was a kid, way back in Hornell, New York, there was a convenience store. You know the ones that were called convenience? It was down the street from the intermediate school in Hornell. Now, my babysitter that I would go to after school was right across the street. My parents would give me $2 to walk down to convenience. And now, not the healthiest thing, but don't judge me. I was a kid. And with that $2, I would get a Sprite and something from the little, you know how at, you don't see it as much now, but back in the day, there used to be a Little Debbie like rack at the convenience stores, and it had, you know, the Nutty Buddies. Those are my favorite things. Ho Ho's. What's the one? What's the real famous one? Starts with a T. You know, it's got. Oh my gosh, Tanner! What's the one I'm thinking of?
Twinkies.
Twinkies. Yes, Twinkies. Cosmic Brownies. All of that stuff. That was 50 cents. Or you could get a bag of Funyuns, a bag of, you know, any kind. I loved Funyuns as a kid. I love the ones now that the Flaming Hot Funyuns. Oh, my gosh. Funyuns. It depends what mood I was in, right? I would always get a Sprite. I loved Sprite as a kid. I would always get a Sprite and either something from the Little Debbie rack or the Lay's potato chip rack. And I would get that with that $2 and get like a quarter back. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I remember exactly. And the Little Debbie was 50 cents and the bag of chips was 50 cents. In some days, so I would get one of each instead of picking one. And I would just get a can of cola from the convenience store, right? I'd either get it from the convenience store or before I left school, there was a machine of canned beverages, 50 cents or 75 cents. I can't remember. And I would put a dollar in that and get the can a little cheaper, but then I had the dollar to go get a Little Debbie snack and a bag of chips, and the quarter would pay the tax, and we'd be all set. Oh, good times. Yes, I definitely remember that. You'd walk in. You'd have to leave your bag at the front of the store for obvious reasons. And then you would go and walk around. It was the thing to do after school in the big city of Hornell, the Hornell Intermediate School. So, yes, Texter, thank you for bringing me back. That was great. 803-0930, star 930. If we talked about it today, you can call in and talk about it. Happy to talk with you. So, I don't know. This is probably going to be a theme all week. I've noticed myself when my son wakes up early in the morning. My wife says I can't put my phone down. I try to argue with her on that, but she's right. And I will just get stuck on, you know, YouTube Reels, now that they have YouTube Reels, or Shorts, they think they call them, and you can just scroll through. I'm just watching so much, let's be honest, so much crap. But this morning, I came across the video of a man who won $250,000 playing the lottery. Now, let me give you the story. So in 1999, so I had to go look this up, right? I looked it up. I did my research. I said, this is something I'm talking about on the radio. Me, the screeching substitute, ear screeching substitute host. We got to remember, that's the nickname now. In 1999, Australian truck driver Bill Morgan was involved in a serious accident that left him in a coma. Even though doctors said he had no chance of living, he miraculously woke up 12 days later and was completely fine. Feeling lucky for having survived, he went on and bought a scratch lottery ticket. The result? He won a $17,000 car. Awesome. Normally, winning a car wouldn't make the news, but because of Morgan's accident, Channel 9 in Australia decided to do a feature on the man who was clinically dead and came back to win the lottery. That was the title of the story. Well, while filming, they asked him to buy a lottery ticket so they could reenact the winning scratch. He happily obliged and started scratching the ticket on camera. To everyone's dismay, he won a further $250,000 on camera. It's a really cool video to watch. You see him scratching, and he turns around and goes, I just won $250,000. You could tell he was just shocked. He starts crying. This is a guy who, you know, 2 weeks earlier, doctors said he was dead, comes back to win a $17,000 car and $250,000. I watched this story. Great for Bill Morgan, right? I mean, to have such a turn of events so quickly, to live a serious accident, and then, you know, I mean, right there, that's winning the lottery, right? Being clinically dead, coming back to life, that's the lottery of life right there. But then being able to back-to-back win two huge lottery jackpots. And then I think of myself. Now, I went through a phase where I was probably playing way too much lottery, right? Scratching too many tickets. I don't do that anymore because I just had awful luck. I think the most I won at a scratch-off lottery was $50, maybe $100. I don't remember $100. The most I've ever won on the lottery was Quick Pick at Tully's on the Boulevard. I won $275 once. Once. I don't think I even won Quick Pick any other time. So that's my luck at the lottery. I got to know from you at 803-0930, star 930. What is your highest winning ever? And I don't mean just the lottery. What's your highest winning in a lottery? Maybe you do squares at work, sports gambling, the casino, maybe some 50-50 drawing at a Sabres or Bills game, or maybe a high school football game. What's the highest amount of money or the most worth item, highest worth item, I guess I'm probably not wording that correctly, that you've ever won? 803-0930, star 930. Are you the kind of person that has a horseshoe you know where that every time you get in some kind of contest, you win? I am the complete opposite. I never win. You know, when sports gambling first came on in Western New York, yeah, I got involved. I won a few. Like, you know, I mean, baseball, I'm pretty good betting in. You look at who's pitching, you look at who's available in the bullpen, and you put a parlay together. You also, you know, make sure you look at the lineup. But there have been just so many times where I thought, oh, I had a sure parlay. And then, you know, Baylor comes back from 27-0 down against Central Florida. So I'm the person you don't, like, I would never bet on the Bills because I do think I'm bad luck. When I was a kid, we were at a Buffalo Blizzards game. And they were having a raffle for a Nintendo 64. And my parents gave me a lot of money to go buy raffle tickets for this Nintendo 64. If you remember, no offense to the Buffalo Blizzards, not many people went to Buffalo Blizzards games, okay? It wasn't that many people. Even less people were putting in for the N64. I must have put like $25 worth of $1 tickets in for this Nintendo 64, and I didn't win. Complete bust. I can't remember ever winning a 50-50. I've had one good outing at a meat raffle. Every other one I've gone to, it's been like a swing and miss. I might walk away with chicken tenders. Like, I am not lucky when it comes to things like the lottery, sports betting, raffles, auctions. You know, what were they when you get a ticket and you put it in? You know, they have these different auctions where you got 1 through 30. You put your ticket in the bag. I think I've won one thing, and that was this past Halloween. I don't have the luck at these kind of contests. Now, I will say, I have been quite lucky at casinos. My first time ever in Vegas, I hit a $25 chip on 36 red at the Bellagio. And I was not staying at the Bellagio. I was walking through, believe me. The night of my bachelor party, downtown casino here in Buffalo, I got hot at the blackjack table. The last time I was in Vegas, I got hot like at 4 in the morning. I got hot at the blackjack table, followed up by going to White Castle. So casinos, not the slot machines. I've never won a substantial amount of money on slot machines ever in my life. I stay away from them. But the blackjack table, I've had decent success. Craps, decent success. And that's why those are really the only two things I'll play. Or I'll go to the sports book. Again, 50-50 there. But lottery, mobile sports gambling, raffles, just I don't have the luck. I don't have the luck, and it's to the point now where I'm never going to bet on the Bills because I feel like I will just give them bad luck. What about you? 803-0930, *930. Are you that person that just wins everything? Or, and we've all known this person and it's annoying, do you know the person every time you're out with them, they pick up a lottery ticket and they win 100? Or you're at a bar and they play Quick Pick and they win $400 right in front of you? 803-0930, *930. Or let's even throw this in there. Have you ever been wildly successful with a stock pick? Because that's kind of like gambling too. Have you ever been wildly successful with a stock pick? 803-0930, *930. Stan in Grand Island. Stan, do you know that very lucky person?
Well, my younger brother used to hit all the time at the slot machines. I'm telling you, 15,000, 18,000. But a friend of mine and myself got in a Super Bowl square pool, $1,000 a square. We hit it. We won $48,000.
Wow. Nice.
It was probably about 7 or 8 years ago.
Now, was that the final? Was that the half? What was what did you hit, the final score?
Oh, yes, but it also paid out like $1,500 a score change, and it kept hitting.
Oh.
And then I think the actual final payout was about $45,000, but we had two number changes.
That's awesome, Stan.
So ended up being $48,000. And then the next year, we actually, like, it's gotten a $3,000 a square pool, and it was in the Patriots were playing, and we had 0-7 for the Patriots. Never got a penny out of that. But the first time, hey, can't complain.
It's a Super Bowl you'll never forget.
Yeah, and I do not get into, I don't gamble. It was just, he asked me if I wanted to be involved. I'm like, yeah, for $500. and we hit pretty good. So that was great.
You know, Stan, that seems to be the story. It's the people who, yeah, you don't gamble, but, you know, most people will get in on a square, and it's the people that don't do any other type of gambling that usually hit those squares.
Yeah, I don't even do scratch-offs. Like you were saying, you did scratch-offs, but I don't do that kind of stuff. You know, of course, you got to buy lotto tickets when it's $1 billion.
Right, yes. Yeah, hope that it hits your numbers. Stan, great story. Congratulations. A Super Bowl to remember, standing Grand Island. Yeah, now squares. I know a ton of people like Stan who have hit numbers on squares. My wife and I have had squares for every Bills game this year. We bought it, you know, money went to a good cause. We got a packet of squares for every Bills game this season. We are 8-6. So what? How many games into the season? That's 14. 14 games into the season, we have hit zero numbers. We have hit zero numbers. Zero times this season, and we've had squares for every game. Hopefully one of these last three, it pays off. But that's, like I said, I am not lucky when it comes to stuff like that. Mike in Batavia. Mike, are you a lucky gambler?
Occasionally, yes.
What is your highest winning, and what kind of gambling was it?
I went to the casino here in Batavia. Batavia Downs, and I hit 9 quick hits. Now, that was like $1,750-some for a $1.50 bet.
Wow.
And if I would have got one more, it would have been over $10,000.
Now, what kind of game was this?
It was a slot machine.
Oh, just a regular slot machine.
Yeah.
Now, is that your biggest winning of all?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've done some pretty good scratch-off tickets before, you know, $1,000 here and $500 here. But as far as for $1.50 bet and I won $1,750 plus, that was pretty good.
That's pretty good. I mean, but you so casually say, oh, I've won $500 here, $500 there. Mike, I've never won over $100 on a scratch-off ticket in 35 years of living.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, you're not playing enough or you're not lucky.
I think it's the latter. Now, you're in Batavia. You're playing the slot machines. You ever bet on the horses? Have you ever been successful doing that?
No. I don't do the horses over there. I mean, you know, I like the concerts that they show out here.
Well, of course.
They have some really, really good bands out here in Batavia. And, you know, if you keep in touch with the schedule, they have some really good bands that they bring out here to Batavia, and it's like right around the corner from my house. So, you know, it's much better than going to like Syracuse or something to go see a band. I mean, they'll bring the bands right here to Batavia.
There you go. Hey, Mike, appreciate it, and congrats on the big win. So, 10,000 or 7,000 on a slot machine. Like I said, I don't think I've ever won anything on a slot machine. The only digital thing that I have won any kind of money on was, I was downtown. This was right before the pandemic. Me and Mazurowski went to the casino. I think I was watching a Virginia Tech basketball game. And I was playing the, like, you know, video poker at the bar. And I think I won enough to pay for my drink. And I thought, wow. Pay for my drink and got my money back, and I thought that was a big hit. Maybe I just don't play long enough, but like I said, my luck, if I've ever been lucky when it comes to money, winning money, it's blackjack, it's craps. It was a couple times at roulette, but I don't even like to go to the roulette table anymore because the odds are just awful. It's just a lot of fun to stand there and cheer on the wheel. But yeah, my biggest winnings, I think my bachelor party, I won around $500 at blackjack. And the last time I was out in Vegas, I think I won around $450 at blackjack. Again, I know. I mean, I'm playing small minimums. But yeah, I don't think I've ever won over $100 on a scratch-off ticket. No, I know I have never won over $100 on a scratch-off ticket. And my biggest winning was once quick pick. I won $275 down the street at Tully's. That was it on quick pick. So lottery, I have very little luck. Every now and then I'll pick up a pick 10 and I might win my money back, but that's rare and I just don't play as much anymore because after you lose for a while, you stop playing. Sports gambling, for some reason, I can do really well in person, but my luck mobile has been, I've probably broken even, right? Nothing big, and I kind of put that aside for the last few months as well. What about you? 803-0930, star 930. Raffles, lottery, casino. What's the biggest amount of money that you have won at any of these things? And it could be picking stock. Have you ever hit a stock? You just didn't, you know, you said, all right, I'm going to do this myself. You did a little research. You put money into a stock, and like, you know, 6 months later, they made a big announcement or something, and you got a ton of money. Legally, obviously. We could throw that in there as well. 803-0930, star 930. And when we come back, now, I don't want to be a Scrooge. I love the holidays. I don't want to keep up the negative tone that some of you accused me of having yesterday. But I think 6 days away from Christmas, this is a good time to ask you for your holiday complaints. I don't want to do it any closer to Christmas. So in the last hour, I want to ask you about the money you've won, because the story from this gentleman in 99 who won $250,000 while the cameras were rolling inspired this topic. But I also, for someone who loves the holidays, I know it can feel good to get those complaints out. So what is your holiday complaint? What is your one complaint about the holidays? 803-0930, star 930. We'll have that. We'll have lottery. And anything we've talked about over the last 3 hours, if you want to comment, call in now. 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer in for Bowerly. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day here on News Radio 930 WBEN.